ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, नारायणं नमस्कृत्यम् नरं चैव नरोत्तमम् देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासाम् ततो जायामुदीरहे नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवतीरुत्तमा श्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्टके कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकीनन्दनाय च नन्दगोपकुमाराय गोविन्दाय नमो नमः।
श्रीमद्भागवतम् केन्टु 10 चाप्टर् 74 टेक्स्ट् नम्बर् 10 उपाहुतास् तथा चान्ये द्रोणा भीष्म कृपादया धृतराष्ट्रः सहसूतो विदुरश्च महामती। उपाहुतास्तथा चान्ये द्रोणभीष्म कृपादया धृतराष्ट्रः सहसूतो विदुरश्च महामतिः। उपाहुतास्तथा चान्ये द्रोणभीष्म कृपादया धृतराष्ट्रः सहसूतो विदुरश्च महामति। उपाहुतास्तथा चान्ये द्रोणभीष्म कृपादया धृतराष्ट्रः सहसूतो विदुरश्च महामति।
Matajis? Matajis?
उपाहुतः इन्वाइटेड तथा ऑल्सो च एंड अन्ये अदर्स द्रोण भीष्म कृपादयः हेडेड बाय द्रोण भीष्म एंड कृपा धृतराष्ट्रः धृतराष्ट्र सहसूत टुगेदर विथ हिज सन्स विदुर विदुर च एंड महामती ग्रेटली इंटेलिजेंट Translation of text number 10 and 11. O King, others who were invited included Drona, Bhishma, Kripa, Dhritarashtra, with his sons, the wise Vidura, and many others, many other Brahmanas, Kshatriyas, Vaishyas, and Shudras, all eager to witness the sacrifice. Indeed, all the kings came there with their entourages. Text 12. The Brahmana priest then ploughed the sacrificial ground with golden ploughshares and initiated King Yudhishthir for the sacrifice in accordance with the traditions set down by standard authorities. Text 13, 14 and 15. The utensils used in the sacrifice were made of gold, just as in the ancient Radhasuya performed by Lord Varuna. Indra, Brahma, Shiva and many other planetary rulers, the Siddhas and the Gandharvas with their entourages, the Vidyadharas, great serpents, sages, Yakshas, Rakshasas, celestial birds, Kinnaras, Chanaras and earthly kings all were invited, and indeed they all came from every direction to the Radhasuya sacrifice of King Yudhishthir, the son of Pandu. They were not in the least astonished to see the opulence of the sacrifice, since it was quite appropriate for a devotee of Lord Krishna. Purport. Maharaj Yudhishthir was universally famous as a great devotee of Lord Krishna, and thus nothing was impossible for him.
Om Jnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmay Shri Guruve Namaha. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Iti Namine. Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine. Vancha Kalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Namo Mahavadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namine Gauratvishe Namaha. He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute. Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye. Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Krishna Hare Krishna Krishna Krishna
Hare Krishna. So this is a very exciting chapter that we are going to be reading in the coming verses about the deliverance of Shishupal. And this is the background that has been set for the deliverance. And here in this five verses we are getting an idea of what the Rajasuya sacrifice was really like. We attend so many large events that we have seen. I remember the first large event in my life, the largest event in my life I saw was the 1996 Prabhupada centennial event. It was, I think, 23rd of December 1995. There was a big event to launch the 90s, the Prabhupada Centennial. Very large event in NSCI. Lot of hard work, lot of management, lot of discussions, lot of meetings went on. And in spite of that, a lot of hard work was done, but you know, managerially it was quite a tough situation. It was a chaos, because some dignitaries came and it was just so difficult to manage the crowd and everything. So that was a large event, and it was not easy to organize that event. But we can imagine the event like Rajasuya sacrifice, when people are not only coming from a particular part of a region, not only from few countries, but the people coming from various planets and various higher and lower planets people are coming from, and that means everybody coming from all directions. You know, so let us really understand of what we are really reading, what are we really exposed to, and do we really honestly believe in what we are reading? Because many a times we read, and because in the situation of just going on with our regular services and regular hearing, we don't really give a thought to what we are reading. It just happens. Every day we sit, we hear and we go. We sit, hear and we go. But do we really, really think what Sukadeva Goswami or Sudha Goswami is explaining here? What exactly is happening? So what sort of event was this? And what sort of devotees were the Pandavas? We just talk about the Pandavas, you know, Arjun, Yudhishthir Maharaj. I mean, because, you know, we talked about them so often. But we must really understand what sort of devotees they were and what sort of opulence they had because they surrendered to Krishna. We know very well that as a preamble to this whole situation, the Mahabharata, that the Pandavas were sent to Khandavaprastha. It was a completely barren land. Completely nothing. And they were sent as this is what you get. As a stepfatherly treatment that they got from Dhritarashtra. And they were happy. Because a devotee of the Lord is na sochati na kankshati. Samas Brahma Bhuta is always happy. As Gita explains. So they were happy. They went there. But obviously, you know, a devotee is always wanting to make things better and better and better. And nothing is impossible for him. It is, you know, there's only a one line purport to this. You know, sometimes you wonder, oh, what do I speak in one line? But this line is so profound. Maharaj Yudhishthir was universally famous as a great devotee of Lord Krishna, and thus nothing was impossible for him. And this is not really a purport. It is part of the verse spoken by Sukadeva Goswami. He says very clearly that they were not the least astonished. All the people who came, the Siddhas, the Charanas, all the big people who were exposed to all sorts of opulence, they all came. He said they were not the least surprised, astonished to see the opulence of the sacrifice, since it was quite appropriate for a devotee of Lord Krishna. Every situation that Bhagavatam gets, it glorifies Krishna. Because the purpose of Bhagavatam is to glorify Krishna. That's the whole idea. The whole idea is that the student of Bhagavatam understands the glory of Krishna, the various facets of Krishna. And what is it in for us if we surrender to Krishna? That's the whole idea of the whole Bhagavatam. To just inspire the sadhaka, the listener, to really get inspired and enthused to really take more shelter of Krishna. So the speaker here, this verse, is saying that it was not astonishing at all for them, because they knew it, that what cannot be impossible for a devotee of Lord Krishna. And Yudhishthir Maharaj was famous to be a devotee of Krishna, so nothing was impossible. So please understand that something which was so natural for people to accept, those who came, is the mood that we need to understand. That means nothing for a surrendered devotee of Krishna is impossible. Do we really have that faith? It's very, very important. Because so many times, if not every moment, but every few hours, or every few days, or every few weeks, I'm sure all of us are getting thoughts, is spiritual life really possible for me? You know, can I continue in what I am doing? You know, Grihastha is thinking whether he can continue in this life, because with this sadhana and with all the responsibilities, all the attacks, can I really continue? A brahmachari also has the same issues. Can I really continue with the situation? And the time factor is constantly making things change. If we do something thinking that this scenario that I have will continue forever, and based on that scenario we make a particular decision, then be sure the scenario will change, and you will have to really be grounded to your decision making in a changed scenario. I was just speaking, I mean, few months back, I was speaking to the a year, 2 years back, speaking to the VTA boys, the Vaishnava Training Academy boys, was giving them a talk. And, you know, of course, they are all the people who are trying to be, maybe, you know, aspiring to be brahmacharis or grihasthas, both. Many of them would like to continue as brahmacharis. So I was saying that they don't make a decision based on the current situation that you are in now. Because situation will change. And I remember one of them came to me just few weeks back. I said, Prabhuji, that statement stuck me. And of course, this statement was not mine, because it's something which I've heard from my seniors. So I said, I just repeated. But he said, yes, if the decision which I make, if I was making the decision based on the situation and not based on my own personal natural disposition, but the fact is that situations will and must change, because the time factor is all about change. Everything that you see in this temple is changing. The people who were here are no more here. And if we decide to make a decision in life based on people, based on a particular circumstance, that will change. But one thing that will not change is Krishna. Krishna will never change. He's always there available. 24 hours standing for us. He's always there. With Srimati Radharani. So we must understand that how wonderful is Krishna, how infallible is Krishna to reciprocate with his devotees. Anything else is fallible. Is fallible soldiers. E dhana yovana putra parijana ite kiya che paratitire kamala dala jala jivana talamala bhajau hari padanitire. Govindas Kaviraj Goswami says this. Very, very important words, bhajan. If we are making any decisions based on wealth, based on family, based on our youth, based on our situations, based on our friends, based on anything, they are very, very short-lived. They are as short-lived as a drop on the petal of a lotus. Very short-lived. It will change. And in the same situation, what will you do? Do you really feel completely lost, like a Trishanku hanging in between? Or what do I do now? If you are attached to the situations, situation will change. But if you are attached to Krishna, that is why it's a bhajahu haripada niti. The real niti, the real intelligence, the real real niti, the real right way of doing things in your life. The only niti is... He said, this is Govinda Kaviraj's advice to us, that all these things will fail. But the real niti is bhajau hari pada niti re. But the lotus feet of Hari will not. And that is specifically the reason. I remember many years back, one of the leaders were giving a class on this particular bhajan, and he said, why is Govinda Kaviraj Goswami speaking, using the word Hari and not Achyuta and not Keshava and not Madhav? Because Hari word is meant for a person who takes away everything. And that's why bhajau hari pada, that same person who takes away everything, he will not be away from you ever. He takes away, but he doesn't take away himself from you. Isn't it interesting?
He takes away your youth. I mean, I joined Hare Krishna movement when I was 16 years old. You know, I went once to my spiritual master, and I was just a few years back. I said, Maharaj, this, you know, this kirtan is so very vile nowadays, Maharaj. You know, this is just a few years back. You know, I said, Maharaj, this kirtan, you know, just, this was in Mayapur. I said, Maharaj, too much vile, too much, these young devotees are too much vile. Maharaj said, we were thinking of you the same way when you came to Krishna consciousness. You were also like vile. And then I realized, that how the time factor, you know, the thing which you came in, and that's why this famous, very, very sobering situation, very sobering, Radhanath Swami was narrating many, many years back, when he came from Italy, he went to this very, very wonderful museum, which was actually a church. I forget the name of that place. But it was a very, very old church, and where many, many Christian monks, they performed a lot of intense sacrifice and tapasya in that church for years. And the custom was that whichever this great Christian saints would leave their bodies, they would be buried in the basement of this church. And over the years, there was a large, huge quantity of bones, sacred bones of this very, very sacred people. Now, you can't just throw them. You can't just incinerate them and dispose the bones. They were very special. So they decided that we'll make a whole museum of these bones. So there was this scapula, humerus, ulna, radius, all these bones were there. What to do with them? Right? So then, so they said that we'll make a museum, and then they made a tube light of a bone. And so the whole museum is all bones. But Italians are very, very artistic. So they made the whole thing extremely artistic. And I have not been there, but I have seen photographs of this place. And you go around for a couple of hours and you see, you know, different, you know, skeletons. One skeleton was with beads, and one tube lights, and the chandelier is of all bones, different rib bones and all this. Very interesting place. So very sobering, right? When you see bones all around, it's sobering. And then, you know, people go around, and, you know, many people come, boys and girls, husbands and wives, whatever, they're moving around. And they go, you know, they are all sharing their togetherness while they're seeing these things. And then at the end, when they're going out, comes the punch. And then they said there was a board, Mother describing. And it's a message of the saints to all the visitors who are coming there. I said, what you are, we used to be. And what we are, you will be. It's a very, very nice message. That what we are, what you are, we used to be. We used to be like y'all. We used to be like walking around. But be sure that what we are, you will be. So it's very sobering. So that is the power of time factor. And we all are experiencing time factor. We all are all experiencing white hair. We came as young boys and girls, white hair, you know, wrinkled skin, low energy levels, health issues, back problems, and all ISKCON induced health problems. Typical. Nothing to do with ISKCON, but that's our lifestyle. And there's a time factor. So that's why we sometimes wonder, that can I really continue? Because the situation is changing. I mean, can I really continue for another 20, 30 years? Which hopefully I will live. And these thoughts come. Many times we get very, very despondent. Say, I don't think I can continue. Because the fact is, as Krishna is powerful, Maya or her external energy is equally powerful as Krishna. So she is convincing us that, yeah, this is not meant for you. You can't do it. Come on, forget it. Or at least change. Don't continue what you are doing. You know, situation has changed. The people whom you completely depended upon for your association, they are no more around, or they are not so easily available. You used to sit for prasadam with the whole bunch of your friends. Many of them are not around. I mean, all these thoughts come. All of us are thinking about this changed scenario that we all are facing, and we will continue to face. And that's why these thoughts come, and if they will come, what do? Can you really continue? That's why such verses are very, very important. How many changes did Yudhishthira Maharaj and Pandavas went through? Born in all royalty. The sons of Pandu but born in the forest. I can imagine the paradox in their lives. You know, sons of Emperor Pandu but born in the forest. Before two of them, they're born and the mother, you know, offers herself in fire, Madri, she dies. So Nakul Sahadeva are in one sense without mother. Kunti takes care of them. Situation is changing constantly. And then they come to the palace, they see the palace, the royalty, the richness, and they're all part of the richness. The richness belongs to them. And they get this very, very horrible treatment from Dhritarashtra and the sons. And then they've always, you know, but they're enjoying, I mean, they are rich, but they are not, you know, they are constantly getting a discrimination in relationship with people. People are discriminating them. And then they are given this Khandaprastha. They make it into a big Indraprastha. And then they lose again everything. So constant changes. Constant. How many changes they went through? And after they won everything, Arjun lost to infidel coward men. They defeated Arjun. Can you imagine what sort of life they lived? But the one thing that they kept constant, that's why we should see the not a small portion of the Pandavas' life, but see the whole gamut of their life and see what lesson they are teaching us. That bhajau haripada nitire, that they completely had 100% faith in Krishna. That's why this simple one line, that Maharaj Yudhishthira was universally famous as the great devotee of Lord Krishna, and thus nothing was impossible for him. So of course here they are mentioning about the richness, the opulence that Yudhishthira Maharaj had. And it is not impossible, because wherever is Krishna, Lakshmi, Sahastra Sata Sambrama Sevya Manam Govindam Adipurusham Tamaham Bhajami. And what is not possible for Krishna, who has been served by millions and millions of Lakshmis or Gopis, Lord Brahma says. What is there to get few gold utensils and some opulence? It's nothing for Krishna. But we think so small. And we have this very, very great problem of low self-esteem. Many times we face this problem of low self-esteem, that it is good to be humble, but the humility should induce us to be so confident in the mercy of Krishna. That's positive humility. But if we find ourselves having low self-esteem, that is inducing us to be despondent and having no faith, that's a snare of Maya. And then, when people have low self-esteem, we get into all negativities. We get into all sorts of criticism. We get into all sorts of jealousy. When you see people having something which we don't have, I say, how is he having something which I don't have? Because we are not really enjoying something from within. We are not getting some substance from within. Then because of his soul's very low self-esteem, and low self-esteem is not necessarily only for people who are poor or downtrodden or ordinary. Low self-esteem is found in people who are very, very, you know, high position people. But because they are not finding the contentment of what they are doing from within, they constantly have to depend upon things from without. And that's why anything good somebody does, oh no, they'll do some criticism, they'll have some jealousy, they'll pass some bad rumors, politics. All these things start entering when we have low self-esteem. We start thinking negatively. And why is this negative thinking? Krishna Surya Sama Maya Hoy Andhakar Jahan Krishna Tane Maya Radhikar. Krishna is like the sun. Sun is all light. Maya is darkness. It is the absence of darkness that, you know, that gives darkness. I mean, absence of Krishna that makes the things dark. It is not a presence of darkness. Do we say darkness is present? No, never. It is the absence of positivity that makes a thing negative, my dear friends. Never the presence of negativity. By default, the default setting of this world is positive. The default setting is not negative. The absence of negative makes the something positive, you know, negative. So when there's absence of Krishna in our heart, or when there's less dependency on Krishna in our heart, that's when we start thinking, this is impossible for me, I can't do it. But you know, we had this song, Hum Onge Kamyaab. I don't want to continue further, but that song, what is saying that one day, when will that day be mine? Even our acharyas say the same thing. That one day, when will the day be mine? That one day I will be successful and I will be face to face with Krishna. My spiritual master will introduce me. Here is Krishna. That's why I heard from somewhere that Prabhupada said that, you know, Krishna will take you and take you to a spiritual world one day, and then, the Guru will take you and they says, here is Krishna, and here you are, and the Guru will leave, and you are face to face with Krishna. And Prabhupada said, so what will you do the next then? You are face to face with Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the person that you were worshipping all your life. It will happen. It will happen one day. But it will require a tremendous amount of conviction, hard work, dependency, positivity, and of course, of all, intense association with people who are positive minded. Who have complete conviction in the faith of, and conviction and faith in Krishna. So I was thinking that, you know, this situation that we are talking about, nothing impossible, so very amazingly applies to Srila Prabhupada. We are in the midst of a whole situation in this particular time that we are, of cultivating intense Prabhupada consciousness. Being last year being the 50th year of his Jaladuta travel, and this year being such an auspicious event of the incorporation of ISKCON. So it is not just ordinary that we are all witnessing this very historic moment in our lives. The next historic moment will be at the most 75 years. In the next 25 years, and I don't think many, we may survive, but we will be old people if at all we survive. And 100 years, impossible. Not many of us will survive for another 50 years. Maybe few of us. So we are so fortunate to be part of a very, very historic time in history, where we are able to celebrate a very, very momentous occasion of 50 years of ISKCON. ISKCON is 50 years old. It has survived. And not only survived, but it has grown. And how did it all start? So situation where Srila Prabhupada, what was the chance that Prabhupada did what he did in 1960 or 1959 or 1963? Can you even imagine that Prabhupada achieved this? And you know, I found this very, very interesting dialogue, which was of course the part of the drama that we saw a few weeks back about the Jaladuta travel of Prabhupada. Very interesting, and what a sweet discussion happened. This is, of course, none of us were there to really figure out what transpired between Prabhupada and Krishna when he had a heart attack, but we can very well understand. And Prabhupada is saying, my dear Krishna, I am always with you. Krishna is saying to Prabhupada, I am always with you, just as you do not forget me even for a moment, I do not leave you even for a moment. And Prabhupada is saying, Krishna, my spiritual master installed your deity in my heart, but I could not serve you properly. I do not even fulfill his first instruction. What is the use of this life? It is a great relief to get rid of this useless body. Prabhupada is saying, Prabhupada is feeling despondent. That, you know, it's enough. I'm old. I didn't do it. My spiritual master gave me an instruction. I couldn't do it. And he's saying, no, my dear. Now the time has come for you to fulfill your master's dream. Prabhupada is saying, now? At the end of his life, when my body is devoid of any energy, when my spirit has become weak, what is it that I can do? What is it that I can achieve? When I met my spiritual master first, I wanted to go to the west and spread your glories, but I did not succeed at that time. Now in this old age, I am useless old fellow. Krishna, now you are sending me to the west. Krishna is telling. This is the faith Krishna is giving. Don't worry, my dear. I have made all arrangements for you. You just go to America. Then you will see all kinds of wonderful things will start to happen. You are meant to achieve something that no one has achieved before. Just relax. So that is what Krishna would have 100% told Prabhupada. Prabhupada was feeling that, I couldn't do it for 1922, 1966, 44 years. I couldn't do this. So he was telling himself, what will I do in my old age, 70? It was impossible. 70 years. Impossible. Prabhupada's body was, I was just imagining, just one heart attack. I sometimes spend time at Bhaktivinoda Hospital and I see patients coming in emergency care with some chest pain. And, the way they are frightened, the way they are shocked, of course, many of them come in a comatose condition. Heart attack. And Prabhupada got not one, two, but as I understand, three heart attacks, two heart attacks. Alone. And it is not that moment he got down to Boston Commonwealth Pier, he ran, where's the doctor? I asked some of the senior disciples, I said, at the most Prabhupada went after 6 months to show his, because he had no time. Where was the money or the time or the, Prabhupada, after he got still settled, he went to meet a doctor. Right. So this is a glorious example right in front of our eyes. That for one who is a devotee of Krishna, nothing is impossible. No external situation can ever impede us from achieving what we want to achieve. That's very, very important. Nothing is impossible. So it is said that nothing is impossible for Lord, and therefore nothing is impossible for one who takes shelter in the dust or the lotus feet of the Lord. That's the conviction. Because can the Lord not do something? Yes? Not possible. The Lord can do everything. And by the sheer power of conduction, what is conduction mean, right? If you have something hot, you enter with a hot thing, you become hot. Right? A hot rod, you touch it, you become hot. So if you are in constant touch with somebody, you can do everything, that he can empower you to do anything. And that's what he did to Prabhupada. And this temple is a glorious example. 1986, 87, 88, many of us, Shyamananda Prabhu would remember. And 1990, this temple would, we can't even in a foggiest of our dreams could imagine this place to be the way it is now. Govardhan Eco Village. Impossible. But once we have, impossible to imagine what it is now when we bought the land in 2003. But once we have faith in Krishna. So all these situations happening around should not be taking it for granted. Because many times we see in our life, we are just so mechanical in our life. We just have lost the heart. We have just become brain. We are just analyzing data, just gathering data. But let us process the data through the heart and see through the heart what is actually happening around us. And you will see magical things happening around us. And that gives us faith. And that is the faith we all need to continue our spiritual life. Because the matter of fact is, that is not easy to continue with eagerness and enthusiasm and spiritual life ongoing. It is difficult. We need constant encouragement. So as long as we are thinking, to the extent we work on our egos, I was just read this beautiful statement, when we have an ego, you are limited to your own strengths and weaknesses. But if you are totally surrendered to God, nothing impossible for you. Very interesting. And even if you feel, I can't do it, that means you are still thinking in terms, you are apparently looking very humble, just like Arjuna was looking very, very ahimsavadi when he said, Krishna, I don't want to fight. And toward externally it sounds very nice, but this person is such a benevolent person. And Krishna, what did Krishna call him? You are actually a fool, Arjun. Similarly, when you say that, I can't do it, spiritual life is not possible for me to do it, that means you are not humble. You are actually operating on your ego. Because you are thinking you can do it. But the mercy factor comes. Then there is no ego. And then nothing is impossible. Was it possible for us to really reach the stage that we are in right now? Did we even imagine that, you know, we would be chanting Hare Krishna, we would be, you know, doing what we are doing? Nothing. None of us would even imagine. I always look back and I see so much presence. I mean, in all of our lives, we can see that. I'm going to share my example. You know, when I was a kid, when I was a child, you know, that time phones were not very, you know, not easily available, telephones. So there was then after a lot of time, after 10 years of application, a phone came to my house. And I was such a shy person that when a phone would ring, I would run away from the phone because I was so scared to speak on the phone. I would run away, I'd go into the bathroom as if I didn't hear it. And literally, I would go to somebody's house, I would run away. And that was my nature. I was such a shy person. And how Guru can empower you to do things? So it is 100% Guru's empowerment, remember Guru's mercy. Just like that example that we have of Sadhu blessing you from a rat to be a cat, from cat to be a dog, and from dog to be, and you think, and from a tiger, and from a tiger you think that you can usurp the Sadhu, then Sadhu is a Punar Mushika Bhava. And again you become an ordinary rat. So we are all maybe doing some tiger-like activities by the mercy of the Sadhu in our life. By the mercy of Srila Prabhupada in our life, by the mercy of our spiritual master in our life, by the mercy of Srila Vaishnava's blessings in our life, we might be doing that. The moment we operate on the ego, then you are limited to your own strengths and weaknesses. And how limited you are in your strength, and how unlimited you are in your weaknesses. Unlimited weaknesses and very limited strengths. And that's what you have when you operate on your ego. And that's what happens when you operate your spiritual life based on ego. And that's what happens. In the beginning, we operate on Vaishnava mercy. But as we go along, we think we can do it on our own. And we start operating on our ego. It begins very well. It never begins wrong. But something goes wrong in between. We take the wrong path. We are supposed to go on this path, we take the wrong path and we start operating, walking on our egos. And then everything becomes impossible. Everything looks very, very difficult to achieve. But if we are sure, if we operate on, there's a Prabhupada said, impossible is a word in fool's dictionary. It is not a statement to just quote. It's a statement to believe. And Prabhupada believed in it. And Prabhupada showed by his example how we should believe in it. When we see, so often do we make this statement, Prabhupada, a 70-year-old man. So many times we heard it, right? But why do we keep on repeating? Because it's an amazing situation that a 70-year-old man did it. So it is just so astoundingly amazing that we keep on repeating again and again. We never get tired of repeating that statement because it's just so amazing, because it again and again shows the profound mercy of Krishna and the profoundness of what a person can do when he has the mercy of Krishna and complete faith in mercy of Krishna. That's why we say this statement. Because materially speaking, it was impossible. Krishna showed it to the world. Old man, 2 heart attacks, no money, nothing. But like Krishna said, if I'm there, don't worry, I've made everything ready for you. You simply have to, as we say, if sab kuch ready, you simply have to, you know, open, you know, do the opening ceremony. Everything is ready. You just open it up and everything will manifest. So that's what we need to learn from this very, very wonderful verse that we have been reading today. And just one last point that we want to discuss is that if we want to, you know, have a life where we are dependent on Krishna, and we should make our life like a festival. Many times, the reason why we become despondent is we become too very unnecessarily serious in life. But life is a festival. As a life is a happy situation. The fact that we have the mercy of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we are in the movement of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Brahmanda Brahmite Kono Bhagyavan Jeev, we are one of that Bhagyavan Jeevs for some reason or the other, God knows why, we happen to land in this place. It's a great, as I said, I sing the news of happy tiding. Right? Surabhi Kunjit Namar Hath Kulache. Right? He said that, I want to sing this. So similarly, we should all be happy with the fact that we are in the movement of Mahaprabhu, the most munificent avatar. I was just, in Udupi just last week, and to witness a most historic event in the history of Vaishnavism, the fifth paryaya of His Holiness Pejarmat Bhakti Vishweshwar Tirtha Pejarmat Swami Maharaj. He took charge of the service to Sri Krishna, Udupi Krishna, for the fifth time. It's history. In the last 800-900 years of Madhva Sampradaya, it has never happened. Vadiraj Swami was the person who reached the fourth paryaya. But he took the fifth paryaya, and it was seeing Pejarmat Swami, a person who had taken sannyas at 8 years. 76 years of sannyas life. Unbelievable. Not because he was in sannyasi, but what made him continue the 76 years? How did he continue like this? What did he do? And we had a short time to really see him. So very innocent and happy person. Always concerned about others. Somebody just told me a story. That sometimes we take things very seriously, right? And also there was a thief who was caught in his mutt. Chore. He was trying to do a big theft in the mutt. They caught him. And many of us, when we catch a thief, we become damn serious about it. We would become really very... So they said, so let us take him to Vishweshwar Tirtha Swami, Pejavarmar Swami. So they took him. So many of you, if you have seen him, he talks in a very, very innocent, sweet way. So he must have talked in whatever Kannada language, whatever he said. Why were you stealing? So he said, well, I have to get my sister married. Acha, how much money you need? The first he said, feed him prasad. So the people said, feed him prasad. Sit, eat prasad. So they fed him to his heart's content. I said, why were you stealing? I said, because I have to get my sister married. Acha, how much money you need? 29,000. So he said, hey, come here. He told his treasurer, give him 29,000. So that person was shocked. Now this is a small a situation, but I was just thinking that he doesn't take life and things so seriously. He is always positive oriented. How I can give positivity in the world and not negativity? If you punish him. You should, based on the situation, but in this situation, he found that it is worth this. Give him 20,000, I said, don't steal again. And you'll be surprised. That person is a devotee of the mutt. So seeing personalities like him, we realize that every day of his life, he said, it's a utsav. And what is the utsav? The utsav is the chance to serve others. It's a festival. And the festival is every day. Because every day when you get up in the morning, you have a chance to serve the Lord and chance to serve others. Isn't it a happy occasion? If you are in that mood of constantly serving, then 20, 30, 40 years will just pass by this way. 76 years of sannyas, and he finds himself in a fifth paryaya, and he's happy. He went just, it's an occasion, it was like a coronation of a king, literally, for those who saw. It was like Julus, it was like a big parades of people. The whole of Karnataka state was just so much eager to see him. When he sat on the Madhva seat, the whole pandal was in our words, Haribo, something like that. They were just so happy, they were clapping, and you know, the first time I saw what is the opulence of a renunciate. And the opulence of a renunciate, you could see that. So much people love him like anything. It was a momentous occasion. But, and just a day before, our Braj Bihari Prabhu, he is not, maybe he is here, he was sharing with us that he saw Pejarmat Swami going, he went to 50 or 55 houses in one day. He went to every single house whoever called him. Small or big, he went to ordinary shop. He went to the shop, he entered the shop, he gave blessings, gave akshata, and he gave blessings, then he left. He said, you know, I have to go to many places. Very innocently. But that person was ecstatic that Pejarmat Swami came to his shop, a small, ordinary shop. Not that he was going to give some money to Pejarmat Swami, not that he was going to give lakhs of rupees. Ordinary person. But he was just so happy. He went to 55 houses. A man who is 86 years old, walking everywhere. And why is this? Because his heart is bubbling with enthusiasm to give more and more to others. To serve others. It's a chance to serve others. And when he came to speak, he was just glorifying his direct disciple. He said, it was his chance to do the paryaya, but he told me to do it. So, intense humility, but intense gratitude for giving the chance to serve. He said, for the 2 years, I'll be serving the deities, and I'll be serving everybody through the serving the deities. So this is what is important for all of us as sadhakas, that let us all have faith that nothing is impossible. Avasya Rakhibe Krishna, this is one of the signs of surrender. That Krishna will always protect me, Krishna is always there to take care of me. Nothing is impossible provided I operate on the fact that I'm dependent on Krishna and not dependent on my false ego. If you all have that faith, then as we say, this will also pass. If we have that story that whatever troubles faced that we have, that will also pass. And whatever happy situations also there, we should always be remembering, this also pass. But as things are passing by, if we continue returning to Krishna, in a one day when we pass away from this world, we will pass into the spiritual world. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Any questions, any corrections, any additions? Thank you very much. Gantra Srimad Bhagavatam ki. Jagat Guru Srila Prabhupada ki.